We come to Thee tonight, praying for Thy blessing upon this service, and praying, O God, that Thou wilt still every heart to listen to Thy word. And we pray that tonight, O God, a work will be done in hearts, even for Thy glory. As we, Thy people, hear Thy word, that we will be strengthened and challenged and encouraged. We pray for any who are not saved, that as they hear Thy word tonight, they may come to a saving experience of Christ. For any backsliders, that they may be restored. Close us in for this time with Thyself. We pray in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. We will commence with the singing of hymn 682, Hark the Voice of Jesus Crying, Who Will Go and Work Today? Fields Are White and Harvest Waiting, Who Will Bear the Sheaves Away? Loud and long the Master calleth, Rich Reward He Offers Thee, Who Will Answer Gladly Sing, Here Am I, Send Me, Send Me. These are hymns that have been previously sung in our meetings in the past, and we trust you'll be able to join in at home with the singing of these hymns this evening.
Thank you.
We seek thy face this evening in the precious and wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O God, that we have access into thy presence through the veil that is rent from top to bottom. We thank thee, O God, for that new and living way which is consecrated for us through the veil that is to say his flesh. We rejoice for this abundant entrance that we have into thy presence tonight. And Father, we do pray that you would meet with us on this Lord's Day evening. We pray that the Spirit of God will be poured out upon us. We pray that, O God, we will hear thy voice speaking to us tonight from thy word. We pray that the Holy Spirit will take of the things of Christ and reveal them unto us. And we pray, O God, that we might be blessed in our souls as we hear thy word tonight. And we pray most of all it will be a word of salvation to those that are yet in sin. We pray, O God, that some soul or souls will this night be turned in living faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may be saved for time and for eternity. Look to thee, O God, that thou wouldst work tonight in hearts and lives, that we, thy children, will be challenged to live for Christ and to serve thee in this evil day. We pray, O God, that thou wouldst remember us around thy feet this evening. Close us in with thyself, that we may know the sweetness and serenity of thy presence as we meet together around thy word. Let us know the challenges of these times in which we live. And, O God, thou art in control of all things. We pray for thine intervention in the situation with this pandemic across the world. O God, we ask of thee that thou would step into this situation, for thou alone hast the answer, and thou alone art in control of all things. We thank thee for doctors and nurses. We thank thee for those who are searching into a vaccine and have had good success thus far. We pray that thou wilt speed their work, and we pray, Father, it might be of immense help to so many people who would be perhaps vulnerable in relation to this virus. Lord, we ask of thee that it may be a means to protect the population into the future. We commend those who are ill at present, at home or in hospital, those who have a variety of illnesses at this time, those even in our own church family who need thy touch. We pray that you would draw near to them, that you would touch them, and, O God, that you would heal them if it be your holy will. Restore them to wonted health and strength. Remember those who have had sorrow in recent times. Lord, we pray for comfort for such families. We pray that thou wilt draw near as they look at that vacant chair, as the vacant place in their heart is so prominent. We pray, O God, that thou wouldst help them and that thou wouldst comfort them in these days. Father, we look to thee for our land and our nation. Such godlessness prevails in our society. O God, we pray that thou wouldst turn the hearts of the people of this land to thee. We pray that thou wilt move in our families, move in our towns, our cities, our villages, move in our country districts, we pray, and grant that many shall be the slain of the Lord. Lord, remember those who are in positions of power. We pray that thou wilt direct them aright in these days. Thou hast told us to pray for them, and so we lift them up to thee. And we pray that their hearts will be turned in the way of righteousness. But Lord, we as thy people too, we have, Lord, a role to play, a very important role. And that is the role of prayer. Help us, Lord, to give ourselves to prayer. That, O God, thou mightest answer in these times. That thou mightest deliver us in these awful days. So hear us, Lord, tonight we pray. Bless us with thy presence. And do us good, we ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. We're reading the Word of God this evening in the Gospel of John, the final chapter, John chapter 21. The Gospel of John chapter 21, and we're reading from the verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the sea of Tiberias. And in this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. For there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Amen. Ending our reading at verse 14, we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. We do again bid you welcome to our evening gospel service and trust that the Lord will bless you as you're meeting with us tonight. Could I mention that we have our Wednesday night prayer meeting online and Bible study, and we trust that you will join in with that online this Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. as we consider again the survey of the New Testament, and this week it is Paul's epistle to the Galatians. That's Wednesday night at 8 p.m., and then you'll follow on in your homes with the time of prayer after listening to the Bible study. Next Lord's Day, the services online, 11:30 and 7 p.m., and I hope to be the preacher at both services in the will of God. The General Presbytery of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster had its monthly meeting by Zoom, held on Friday night past the 13th of November, agreed on and passed the following statement. We, the ministers and ruling elders of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, in recognizing that by means of COVID-19, the Lord's hand of chastening for our sins has been placed upon our own nation, and other nations also. And in the face of the spiraling second wave of the virus, and discerning that man does not have the answer to it, and lamenting that our government has not humbled itself to call on Almighty God for his merciful intervention, and believing that all who profess to be God's people should now turn to him in contrition over our own sins and the sins of our nation, and rejoicing there is pardon for sin through the finished work of Christ, the one mediator between God and man, hereby issue this call to seek him in repentance from sin, that he might forgive us for our transgressions of his holy law, and remove this virus from our midst to the healing of our land. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. I trust that you'll take this statement to heart, and as God's people that we will seek God's face for divine intervention in these times in which we live. We would normally be laying aside our offerings and our tithes for the Lord at this stage, and we know that you will do that, but we are going to sing the hymn number 269 in your hymn book. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Is sore. Is that how you feel tonight? Is your soul sick? Sick with sin? Is your heart sore? Are you coming home tonight? And we'll sing verse 4 and verse 6 because you need the cleansing blood. That's what you need tonight. And I trust you'll make these words indeed your prayer as we sing them. Let us seek the Lord's face in prayer that has come before the Lord this evening. Our gracious God and eternal Father, we come now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. Lord, give prevailing words in the closing moments of this service. We pray in Jesus' name. And for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to, in the closing moments of our service tonight, turn your attention to this 21st chapter of John's Gospel, the final chapter of the Gospel according to John. And the subject tonight is the multitude of fishes. We come to the 8th of the miracles that are mentioned of the Lord Jesus Christ in John's Gospel. The final miracle that John records. We have looked in the past at the turning of the water into wine in John chapter 2. And then in chapter 4, the healing of the nobleman's son. In chapter 5, we've looked at the healing of the man at the pool of Bethesda. Chapter 6, the feeding of the 5,000. And also in chapter 6, the Savior walking on the water. And then in chapter 9, the man blind from birth who was given sight. And then last time we looked in John chapter 11 at the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And now we come to this final miracle, the miracle of the multitude of fishes. And here we have a disciple named Peter, very well known, of course, in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. A disciple who features regularly throughout the Gospel accounts. Peter, we could say, is a larger-than-life character. He frequently is in the picture. You cannot read the Gospels without noticing Peter. He it was who was out of the boat walking on the water to Jesus. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And the Lord Jesus Christ reached forth his hand and saved him. He it was who answered the Lord's question when he said, "Whom say ye that I am?" And Peter answered emphatically, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." When Jesus said to his disciples, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night," Matthew 26, verse 31, Peter said in response, "Though all men be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended." And Peter was there with James and John, in that circle of the disciples the Lord took into the Garden of Gethsemane. In Matthew chapter 26, Peter it was whom the Lord rebuked when he spoke of his impending death. And Peter said, "Be it far from thee, Lord." And the Lord Jesus responded in his rebuke to Peter and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man." And Peter, sadly, having been so close to the Lord Jesus Christ, yet he denied him on 3 occasions. But he wept bitterly. As the Lord looked upon Peter, he was reminded of what the Lord had said, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me 3. The Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. And Peter was restored to the Lord and became mighty in the service and work of his Lord and Savior. And as we think of this man Peter, there's one word that we would use to describe him, and that is impetuous. He seemed to be acting many times on the spur of the moment, living on the edge, as it were. And maybe speaking before he had given it much thought. And maybe you can identify with Peter and his characteristics. Yet the message was given to those women who came to the empty tomb in Mark 16 and 7. "Go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you to Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said to you." And here we have him again in this portion of God's Word we've read from this evening. We have him with Thomas and Nathanael and James and John and 2 other disciples, 7 of them in total. And again, it is Peter who speaks out, seemingly on the spur of the moment, and announces, "I go a-fishing." The others responded then to him, "We also go with thee." And it is in this context that the Lord Jesus Christ performed the miracle of the multitude of fishes here in John's Gospel, chapter 21. And there are lessons we can all learn from this miracle this evening. Three things in particular I want to draw your attention to. First of all, we have the disappointment they experienced. The Bible tells us here in verse 3 of the passage, "They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing." How often our service for the Lord has been like that. We have caught nothing. We have been unsuccessful. We have felt that the time spent was lost. We have felt that we were failures as far as our service was concerned. You see, even the best of our efforts, no matter how enthusiastically they have been displayed and performed, will come to nothing if they're done in the flesh. For Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 5, "Without me, ye can do nothing." We are reminded of those words, "The arm of flesh will fail us. Ye dare not trust your own." The psalmist said, "Vain is the help of man." And here we have experienced fishermen, and yet they caught nothing. Imagine the feeling of disappointment. Perhaps on occasions, maybe you yourself have gone fishing and you've said, "Well, all I caught was the cold. I was unsuccessful," and you were disappointed. Are you disappointed that your efforts have not been successful? All of your efforts have come to nothing. No success, and you feel you've been a failure. Remember Luke chapter 5, even when the Lord Jesus told Peter, "Launch out into the deep and let down your net for a draught." Luke 5 and verse 4. Peter said, "Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing." Luke chapter 5, verse 5. And many times we feel like Peter and the others with him in our service and work for God. Long hours of labor, much effort, much endeavor, but no results at the end of the day, and we're disappointed, and we're cast down. Maybe that's how you feel even tonight. Disappointment, discouragement, a sense of failure. And you feel that there's no use carrying on with the work. No soul saved, no one taken in the gospel net that has been let down. It may even be the case that many nights of toil have taken place. Many days and weeks and even months and years. It seems as if all has been in vain. Such a series of disappointments along the way. And so darkness overshadowed them, the darkness of the night. We read then in verse 4, But when morning was now come, the buts in Scripture are so important. And how often they speak to us of divine intervention. You think of that one in Luke, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. It says, But God, who is rich in mercy. But God. And here is a but in this verse of Scripture. It was the dawning of a new day. But when the morning was now come, the darkness was gone, and the light shone. Darkness is replaced by light. It was a new day experience for these disciples. Amidst all of their disappointment. But more than this, Jesus stood on the shore, the Bible tells us. The Lord was there. Of course, He was there all the time. And He never leaves or forsakes His children. Remember, chapter 6, verse 19, in the midst of the storm, Jesus came to them, the Bible says, walking on the water. And the Lord is always there for us. In the midst of the dangers and disappointments of life, He's concerned about us. He cares for us. Remember, He went with the two on the road to Emmaus in a time of great disappointment. They were downcast, even to the point of despair. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 15, it says, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. Remember this, dear friends, when you're out on the sea of life, toiling, seemingly having no success, Jesus stands on the shore. Jesus is near at hand. He's always there. In the darkest hours, in the times of greatest disappointment, in the hours of deepest discouragement, He's there. The Bible says, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. They didn't know who it was. In Luke 24, 16, it says of those two on the road to Emmaus, their eyes were holden, that they should not know Him. Again in John chapter 6, the disciples didn't know it was Jesus who was coming toward them, walking on the sea. We remember too Mary at the empty tomb there in John chapter 20 and verse 14. And when she had turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. And in verse 15 of the same chapter, she supposing Him to be the gardener, she didn't recognize Him. Such was the sense of disappointment. Even the sense of great distress, overwhelming sense of failure here. They didn't know it was Jesus who was standing there on the shore. And often we are exactly the same, you and I, in the course of our lives from day to day. We don't recognize Him. But all the while He is there, He is near, ready to come to us with precious words of comfort, to console us in the midst of our disappointments. In verse 15, He was seen, of course, on the shore. They didn't recognize Him. But then He spoke to them. He spoke to them, verse 5. He shows His concern for them. He shows His compassion toward them. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? He could see how faint they were. He could see that they had nothing to show for all of their labors and all of their toiling. How good it is to hear the voice of God in a time when we're downcast and disappointed. Again on that road to Emmaus, the Lord spoke with those two disappointed disciples in Luke 24 and 17. In John 6 and 20, He saith unto them, those disciples there in the boat, it is I, be not afraid. He revealed Himself to them. And then Genesis 45, verse 3. And here's Joseph. His brethren had been alienated from him. The Bible says there in that portion, Genesis 45, 3, and Joseph said to his brethren, I am Joseph. I am Joseph. He revealed Himself. And Jesus speaks to us now tonight, revealing Himself. It is the Lord. In the midst of your disappointments, Jesus here posed the question, children, have ye any meat? They answered no. They had nothing. They were at their lowest point. It is when we recognize that we have nothing, that we are at our lowest point, that the Lord steps in to help, to show forth His power in our lives for His glory. Are you at the lowest point of your life tonight? As a Christian, need the Lord to step in. Need the Lord to help you. Need to hear His word. Are you at your lowest point, unsaved soul tonight? The lowest point in your life's experience. You need to hear the voice of God. You need to hear that the Savior has come to care for you, to meet you at the point of your need, and to help you and to save you. He's willing to do that even tonight. But I want you to see, secondly, here in this portion, the directive that was enlightening. In verse 6, the Lord said, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." The directive that was enlightening. Notice the plea, "Cast the net." The Lord directed them there to do this. In Luke 5 and 5, it was the Lord's word. Peter said, "We have toiled all night and have taken nothing." He said, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." Listen to the word of God tonight. What God wants you to do, He knoweth what is best. He knows exactly when we should do it, for He is in control. Oh, people today are wringing their hands around this world. Wringing their hands around this world. They don't understand what is happening. Who's in control? That's the cry. Criticizing governments on every side and in every hand. Criticizing those in the medical field as well. But oh, my friend, God is in control. That's who is in control. Let us submit in everything to Him, for He knows the end from the beginning, and He doeth all things well. And the Lord wants us to cast the net, to let down the net. That's what the Lord requires us to do in the preaching of the gospel, in all aspects of our service for Him. Cast the net. It'd be a total waste of time for the fishermen to load up the boat and to have all of the equipment there and to go out to sea and just drift around and come back home again. No, they go out with a purpose to cast the net. Let us not waste our time in drifting around in this world and sailing around in this world. Let us cast the net. Let down the net tonight. And then I want you to see the place. That's the second thing here. Cast the net on the right side of the ship. He knew exactly where the catch was. You may feel sure that Peter and the others, experienced fishermen as they were, would have known where to catch the fish. On this occasion, they didn't. But the Lord's knowledge is greater than any human knowledge. He knoweth all things. He's the all-knowing one. He knew exactly what they needed to do. As far as casting down the gospel net, the Lord knows the place where the catch of souls are. He directs the soul winner to that very place. If we are to catch souls for Christ, we need to be in the right place at the right time. Many times I've been out seeking souls in my ministry. May God help me ever to be a seeker of souls and a winner of souls. And the Lord, as I was out in the car, or as I was at home intending to go out, has directed me to that hospital ward, or directed me to make that home visit. And then that man or that woman or that young person has been in that particular place, and their soul has been won for Christ. Oh, may God help us to go by the Lord's directions. Cast the net on the right side of the ship. The Lord knows the place where souls are to be won, where the net is to be cast, and souls are to be won for Christ. You'll notice the promise. Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find, verse 6. What a promise. It had a certainty about it. Doesn't say maybe. Doesn't say perhaps, no. It says emphatically, ye shall find. No doubt about it. All the uncertainties are removed. There's an absolute assurance from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, often the fishing fleet will sail out to their fishing grounds with the hope that they will have a good catch. But there's no certainty. There may be adverse conditions or other reasons why they don't. They're disappointed. But the Lord says here, ye shall find. The Lord has promised that if we follow Him, He will make us fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men. Obey the Lord, Christian. He will cause you to be a winner of souls. Whether it come in one or two souls, or whether it's a multitude, that is in the Lord's hands. But we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. And so, we see the place. But then I want you to see finally here, in this portion of Scripture, the delight that is enthralling. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw for the multitude of fishes. Verse 6 tells us. In fact, when you go to verse 11, it was 153 fishes in total. What delight they had in this catch. Having previously been disappointed and being unsuccessful, now in obedience to the command of Christ, by the miraculous intervention of Christ, they were successful. There's no doubt they were rejoicing. They couldn't draw it in because of the number of fishes in the net. Now they were in the horns of a dilemma. What would they do? But look at verse 8. And what it says here, and the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fishes. The other disciples came to their aid, and they were able to drag the net with the fishes. And verse 11 tells us, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there was so many, yet was not the net broken. What a catch. What an intervention by the Lord Jesus Christ. What a miracle had taken place here. There was delight at the size of the catch. Notice the terms that are used. The multitude of fishes, 153. There were so many. It was a magnificent catch. It was a miraculous catch that they had caught that particular day. The size of the catch. My friend, when the Lord comes alongside, when the Lord directs us, and when we obey Him, then we will have success as He sees fit and as He has ordered it for His honor and for His glory. You'll notice also not only the size of the catch, but the safety of the catch. The net was not broken. The context tells us. Not one of the fish were lost. They were all gathered in. Now, many times when the fishermen go out, they pull the net. Oh, some fish get out. They escape. They get the most of them, but they don't get all of them. But every one of these fish were caught. My friend, God will gather to Himself a multitude that no man can number. From across this world, from every class and creed, culture and color of mankind. And not one of them shall be lost. Not one of them whom the Lord has chosen will be lost. Neither shall any man pluck them out of his hand. They shall never perish, the Bible says. I repeat, tonight, not one of those who are truly chosen by the Lord and saved by the Lord will be lost. every one of them will be gathered in. Not one of His chosen ones will be lost. Oh, what wonderful safety and security there is when the Lord does His work. Then, my friend, it is absolutely safe and secure. You'll notice also here the Savior who ordered the catch. When Simon Peter heard, it was the Lord. It was the Lord. Look at verse 12. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. None of His disciples durst ask Him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. They knew, all of them, that it was the Lord. What a blessed moment that was for all of them. What a meeting that was with the Savior. Oh, let me ask you tonight, have you met the Savior? Have you met the Lord? Do you know Him tonight as these disciples knew Him? Oh, you can know Him tonight. Hey, you close your eyes and sleep. You can close with Christ as He's freely offered to you in the gospel. What a meeting that was, and what a meal that was with the Lord. Look at verses 9 to 10. They saw the fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. And of course, they dined with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread, verse 13, and giveth them, and fish likewise. What fellowship with the Savior! The Lord was in the midst. You remember, again, those two on the Emmaus Road? The Lord went in and tarried with them. The Lord was revealed to them. They sat down with the Lord. He partook of the full provision that He had made. He says to us tonight, as He said to those disciples long ago, come and dine. Will you come and dine with the Savior tonight? Come and sit down. I wonder, did Peter think about the fire of coals that he had stood at when he denied the Lord? But now he's sitting down, having been restored to fellowship with the Lord, he's sitting down with the other disciples in fellowship and close communion with the Lord again. Maybe you've been where Peter had been, denying the Lord with oaths and curses. Yet the Lord forgave him, and he was restored, and he repented. And now he's sitting down with the Lord. You can come back to the Lord tonight. And you can come into that fellowship again, as Peter did here and the others. Come and dine. Remember those words in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. Will you open the door tonight to the Lord Jesus Christ? This moment, let the Savior into your life, that you might have fellowship with Him and He with you. Oh, don't delay tonight. Come now to Jesus. This very moment, in these uncertain days, seek ye the Lord tonight. Turn to Him while He calls you. Trust Him now as your Savior. And be saved for time and for eternity. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. What a wonderful message is conveyed through all of these miracles in John's Gospel, indicating the miraculous intervention of the Lord Jesus Christ in all of these situations, in all of these lives. He can intervene in your life tonight. He can make the change, the transformation that is needed. Will you let Him do it tonight? Let Him come into your heart, even now. May God help you to do that. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that Thou wilt apply Thy word to the hearts of those that have heard. And we pray that tonight there'll be those who will open up the heart's door to the Savior and let Him in, that they will come and dine with Christ tonight. We pray that Thou wilt apply Thy word to every heart. We pray in Jesus' name. for God's eternal glory. Amen. Could I turn you to our closing hymn tonight? 678. We've heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward is our Lord's command, Jesus saves. And let us sing this hymn together, please. Thank you for listening tonight to our service, and we trust that God will apply His word to your heart. If you're concerned or troubled about these things, do please make contact with us by text or by calling us or by email. We're happy to hear from you, to point you to the one who can meet your need, the Lord Jesus Christ. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.